A day ahead of the union budget, the finance minister Nirmala Sitharaman has presented the economic survey 2023-2024. It is an important document. It's an annual one presented by the government ahead of the union budget. The document also provides an overview of the short to medium term prospects of the economy. The opposition says that the government has cherry-picked positive aspects of the economy while neglecting key concerns. So what exactly is the state of the economy, and based on what we are seeing over here, is there anything we can hope to expect tomorrow? So that's what we are looking at on the program this evening. Joining us now, Dr. Punita Kumar Sinha. She's an independent director on boards of several companies and a veteran investor. Salman Soz of the Congress Party and Dr. Syed Zafar Islam joining us as well. Zafar Bhai, let me come to you first. One of the biggest concerns, you know, which has been expressed in this is food inflation, which is nearly approximately 10% per year. You know, as we talk about the macroeconomic factors, which are great at one level, India, the fastest growing large economy in the world. What about something which affects, you know, millions in this country, food inflation?
Well, food inflation, definitely, if you just see the headline number, definitely it is well within the range the government has set. 4% plus minus 2%, and it is currently at 4.4% or 4.5%. But if you just analyze and further break this number, you will realize that the core inflation is at a record 4 years low, while the food inflation is high because of the seasonal factor. Sometimes you see the impact on food inflation because of the season, adverse weather condition. Definitely, you see the upward pressure on the prices on food products. And this is what we are experiencing currently. But as we get fresh food coming into the market, perhaps the food inflation will come off, and definitely the headline number will also come off. The target of the government was definitely 4 plus minus 2%, and the direction of the inflation is definitely well under control, and it is likely to come up in the future. And food inflation also, the government is also working on backward integration and forward integration. That is something like creating more storage capacity and the forward integration as well. And that is something which will definitely help in near term or the medium term, which is the aim of the government.
Okay, but let me just get a quick reaction. Zafar Bhai, one second.
Which is being addressed.
Let me bring in Salman over here. Salman Jairam Ramesh tweeting earlier on today said that food inflation is at nearly 10% per year. It depends really on what statistic, whether it's the top line number for inflation you're looking or the working number, which Zafar Bhai was referring to. Overall, some would suggest that our overall rate of inflation is under check. How would you respond?
If the overall inflation numbers are in check, then the people of the country have not been told, because the people of the country, in survey after survey, especially a CSDS survey that I think NDTV ran at one point, were talking about inflation being their primary concern along with unemployment. Now, I don't subscribe to Zafar's data, because the government and the ruling party that we have, they lie on a routine basis. So the inflation, food price inflation, that the issue that you raised, in June it was about 9.7% for food prices. And by the way, within that, one should go below the averages. Within that, vegetable prices, sabzi, was almost 30%. Dal, pulses, was 16%. So maybe Mr. Modi does not know the price of dal and sabzi. He should, because I know he's a vegetarian. He should. And he should then correct his BJP colleagues so that when they come on national television, they don't inadvertently, possibly, because I know Zafar is a good guy, then they don't have to basically look silly in front of TV cameras. One other thing, because I think this issue of the economic survey is a much broader issue. This is not just about food price inflation. This is about the direction of the government in some ways. And the government is a big part of this economy. As far as I could tell, I looked at the economic survey. The government has basically said, sab changa si. The main chapter is titled, Steady as She Goes, as if it is the ship. But, you know, it's almost like the Titanic. where they said steady as she goes. And you know what happened. This country is going through a jobs crisis. This country is going through an inflation crisis. This country has an investment crisis. This country has a personal savings crisis. This country has a personal debt crisis. And this government comes out and says that everything's okay. Everything is not okay. And let's have a debate about that.
Let me just bring in, get a quick reaction in from Dr. Punita Sinha. One of the startling statistics which sort of came out was, in order for us to be sustaining our GDP growth rate and growing further, and of course focusing on job creation, which everybody agrees is a primary requirement, we need to create nearly 80 lakh jobs each year for the next 20 years. Is that at all reasonable to expect?
Well, I think it's absolutely true that for India's economy to keep growing at this rate, we need to have better employment opportunities for the youth. And if we don't, it is going to be a big risk factor for the economy. So now the question is, how many jobs? That's a little hard to quantify looking out in the future, but the numbers that have come out in the economic survey, definitely we should at least achieve for those numbers, if not more. But to be able to create jobs is not the only issue. There's a skill gap. And so even while there are jobs, it's very hard to find as an employer good people who can actually, and that also feeds into higher wages, because those people who are qualified keep demanding higher and higher wages, and at the top levels and even mid-level jobs, you find the salaries are now at 70-80% of global levels. Whereas at the very low level, salary is extremely low. So there's a big income disparity, even in the job market. And that means there's a big skill gap that needs to be addressed. So I think that is the biggest challenge, in my view, that for India's economy to sustain, you need to have better trained labor force. And our strength is our demographics, but that can also turn into our weakness.
Zafarbhai, one of the big problems is if you look at the state of the economy, while the top line numbers for several companies, have been improving, profit margins have been growing, it's not so much in terms of hiring and salaries have not kept pace with the profits which are being registered. Now, in a free market economy, I'm not sure anybody can really do anything other than encourage companies to be fair. But in terms of hiring and in terms of improving salaries, which are so important, do you believe more needs to be said and done by the finance minister tomorrow?
Well, I don't know whether the finance minister would speak about the private companies hiring and their salary structure. About what she can do is basically create an environment where the companies can offer better compensation package to the people they are hiring. Away from that, if you just, I just heard the Congress spokesperson, but let me tell you, you can scan the global economy of this. You can see what other economies or large economies are doing, whether they are really doing better than India or they are still struggling. I think India is definitely doing much better than many large economies. If you compare more on macroeconomic parameters, you compare on various other factors, you'll see that India is definitely doing better than many other economies. If you see the sustained growth, we had seen last year growth 8.2%, then we had the projected growth is for 7% for this year. And of course, inflation is under check. They should also introspect what the inflation number was, headline inflation number was when they were in power. They had double digit inflation number for at least 2009 to 2014. And if you see that 10 years average was around 8.9%, compared to what we had, this inflation number is still lower than 5%. That suggests that we had definitely been able to control inflation. We definitely have a momentum in the economy. There's a lot of economic activities. There is a growth momentum. And all the macroeconomic parameter, which was looking terrible in 2014, is looking very good currently. So the economy is in good shape. Of course, as Dr. Punita rightly highlighted, that we need to really skill our labor force. It is a demographic dividend for us. It should not turn out to be curse for us. Definitely young force. We have a young force and they need to be given opportunity. We must government is focusing, and the economic survey also highlights that more jobs needs to be created, more skilled jobs needs to be created and people need to be skilled. And that is something which is the focus of the government. If you see that we have a separate ministry for skill development, I'm sure that if you compare on this particular parameter, I think if you compare with the other economies, we still need to go a long way because we need to skill our workforce. Sure. And that is something which should be priority of our government. And we will definitely do many policy reforms or policy measures which government will
take. All right, so we'll wait and see what happens tomorrow. Salman, obviously skilling is somebody, nobody would disagree with the fact that we need to enhance skilling, particularly at scale. You know, it's a problem, and Zafar Bhai is very frank about that. Look, we need a lot more to be done. One of the aspects of the economic survey was, and I quote, a huge pall of uncertainty as far as artificial intelligence and its impact on workers is concerned. Rahul Gandhi has spoken about AI in the past. He says that it's something that you can't sort of wish away. But, you know, there are concerns over here about, you know, jobs as a result of artificial intelligence. We are also talking about skilling separate to this. You know, is this really something which any government can, beyond a point, handle? AI.
Vishnu, I'll talk about AI, but, you know, whenever Rahul Gandhi speaks about the big issues of this country, he's always been proven right. Now, but let me just take issue with what Zafar Bhai said about inflation, about UPA versus NDA. We're not in UPA times now. We're in NDA times right now. And by the way, they'll never talk about the crude oil prices, which are a big determinant of inflation in India. They never talk about what it was under Manmohan Singh's time and what it is, the prices now. So this is kind of misleading kind of rhetoric. People sitting at home should understand that these people are just simply trying to mislead them. The big issue is employment or the lack of employment. And this government has no response to it. They only today, if you read the economic survey, there's a lot of hand-wringing about we need to do something, we should do skilling, we should do basically the private sector has to come forward. Vishnu, I take issue with what you said. You said, what can the government do in a free market economy? The government can do a lot. Did this government not cut taxes in 2019 for private sector companies? And what has happened to the private sector profits? In the last 4 years, private sector profits have increased by a factor of four. They have not doubled. They have not tripled. They have quadrupled. So private sector companies are making a lot of money. And then they're not investing. They're not investing. If you look at the economic survey, today's survey says the big issue that they talk about when they talk about private sector investment is that when it comes to plant and equipment, investment is not keeping pace with public sector investment or investment in dwelling.
I just wanted to bring in Dr. Sidha, interrupting you because...
Just one final point on this. Without investment, especially private sector investment, you cannot create jobs. And by the way, why do we first focus on AI and other things? Why don't we just talk about small-scale manufacturing?
All right. Well, Salman, interrupting you because we're out of time. I haven't had an opportunity of going back to Dr. Sidha. But in fact, I can. I've got just about a minute. I just wanted to ask you, Dr. Sidha, about, you know, as far as... AI is concerned, you know, is this is not something that we can wish away. What in your mind is the potential impact of this in terms of jobs? Go ahead, ma'am.
Okay, so first of all, I've been on the board of the CF Institute and we've done a lot of work on AI and the impact of that on financial services jobs. And we found that it will impact the lowest level of talent, skill, but not at the highest level necessarily. And it's still a ways away. And in fact, in most of the boards I'm on and the companies that I'm on, AI is not really being used by most of the Indian companies in any meaningful way. So it's not an imminent threat in India. It is a bigger threat in some of the more developed economies, and it will come to India. But at the moment, it's not imminent. And if at all, it will impact the lower skill level jobs that can be, you know, done in a more routine way by AI.
And just one more question, Dr. Sidha. When it comes to investments in India, the lack of private sector investments is a crisis. The fact that we have these very impressive top-line numbers in terms of GDP and investment is because it's government-led investment. Until we right that situation, are we essentially in trouble?
Well, I mean, definitely, for the longest time, government was not investing as much. And now, thankfully, the government has stepped up its investment and CapEx, and that has boosted the PSUs and many of the other companies. The private sector investment, it's not like it's lacking. but we have certain economies of scale that the private sector is experiencing. So it doesn't, they can do the same work more efficiently with the same number of people. So I think, yes, they will have to keep investing if they want to grow. But there are a lot of new companies. It's not like the existing companies.
All right, Dr. Sinha, we've got to move on at this stage. We've got the chief economic advisor in this very special interview to NDTV Profit. Let's listen in.
And I'm in conversation with Dr. Anant Nageshwaran, chief economic advisor to the government and the man of the moment. Dr. Nageshwaran, thank you so very much for taking time out for us on this very busy day. So, you know, to begin with, I do want to ask you that while you have outlined reasons for your cautious approach on the GDP forecast for this year, do you expect stronger consumption as well as private investment and the contribution of government spending to then come down?
No, I think you are spelling out the specific elements of GDP growth. I think it's difficult to say where the impact will be. But what we point out is if the monsoon turns out to be patchy and uneven, it will have some implications for rural consumption and rural income growth. And separately, geopolitical disturbances and the manufacturing challenge being posed by China and given the excess capacity that is out there, creating the potential for imports increasing in a big way, may induce some caution on the part of the private corporate sector with respect to investing. So it may affect the growth rate. It's not necessarily the absolute amounts being invested. It may affect the growth rates of corporate sector capital formation as well.
Okay, all right. So also, your comments on equity markets suggest that the Indian market is overheating. You have spoken about, a cautious approach for retail investors that's needed and the expectation of greater returns, not aligning with real market conditions. So, I do want to ask you if the implication is that markets are currently overheated. And also on derivatives, the problem now seems to be well identified. Why is policy action then lagging? Have you already let it run too far? And what is the policy prescription in that case?
Look, I don't think, first of all, about the market valuations, etc., I don't comment on it. And I haven't commented specifically on financial market valuation in India. I simply said that financial market valuations in the developed world have become elevated. And there seems to be some sort of a caution that is creeping into the marketplace. And normally, when the developed country markets correct, they do have a spillover effect in developing countries, and Indian market has run up a lot in the last several years, and there is therefore quite an appropriate condition for profit taking to happen, etc. So it is not about valuations in India per se or the growth opportunities, but what is happening elsewhere can have a spillover effect here as well. That is one. And second, whether the situation with respect to Indian retail participation in F&O has it already gotten out of hand, I don't think so. It is not a systemic concern, but we actually don't want it to become a systemic concern. If you look at what the central bank did in December with respect to raising the risk weights on unsecured personal loan, that was a preemptive action. It is not that things have become out of control at the time. It did not want things to become out of control. That's exactly the kind of stronger for longer kind of action that needs to be taken. And also, it is in the interest of both the retail investor and capital markets and the private sector with respect to capital formation that we ensure that the financial savings are channelized into productive investments, both from the point of view of the investor and the corporate sector.
Okay, all right. So the report today has a lot of interesting commentary on the China Plus One policy. Now, you've articulated about the benefit of FDI from China and why that can be encouraged. But can you tell us a little bit more about that? And also, adding to that, does it sort of run contrary to what other parts of the government might be feeling about China-related investments?
No, we are not contradicting anyone here. We're simply pointing out the possibility that if we continue to rely on imports from them, it's not that as if we are not having a relationship with them. We are importing a lot of goods from China. And that's why our trade deficit with them bilaterally are running close to about $90 billion. So there is a relationship. There is a commercial relationship. We are simply asking the question whether there could be a better balance, because continued reliance on imports can also have implications for domestic manufacturing growth to happen, investments in the manufacturing sector to happen. Because of excess capacity, because of China's presence, continued presence in low value added goods, etc. If we continue to import them, then we will, and importing from them is actually cost comparative, cost attractive, and therefore that will continue, which will naturally delay the creation of manufacturing capability domestically in those areas or even in medium and high-tech areas. So that's a choice we need to make. What kind of engagement we need to have? We have an engagement, and that is trade-based. We are asking the question whether that is conducive for other goals that India has. Even not only with respect to investment and manufacturing, but also with respect to managing climate change and energy transition. So we are only raising these questions and asking that maybe there is a need to look at a better balance between importing goods and importing capital.
Okay, all right. Now, I'll try and squeeze in one quick last question before I can let you go. But, you know, I do want to ask you about jobs. You've spoken about the improvement we've seen in economic indicators. We've seen a decline in unemployment rate alongside a rise in labor force participation. But I do want your help in understanding, you know, how do you read this against the rise we've seen in self-employment? Within that as well, we've seen a rise in own account workers, helpers in household enterprises, and that along with the share of salaried employees having fallen a tad bit from about 23.8% in 2018-19 to about 20.9%. Not a fairly steep decline, but I do want some help understanding that.
Sure, I think it's a fair point. I think we can have both of them happening in parallel. You can have increase in own account workers, by the way, but even though there's increase in own account workers, increase in own account workers on account of domestic work has come down. It's some of them are actually become their own employers. And secondly, I think we should remember that between 2013 and 2019, we had the balance sheet issue in the corporate sector and the banking sector, immediately followed by the pandemic, which saw reverse migration happen, and plus women coming into labor force in rural India, etc. So the two big shocks have created distortions, and that we should not let those two big shocks influence or cloud our judgment about the structural capability of the Indian labor market. Now that these two shocks are behind us and are fading away, I think the economy will see a resumption of job creation in the right areas of the right quality.
Okay, all right. Thank you so much, sir, for taking time out to speak to us today. We're very grateful.